Are you struggling to find your purpose in life? Do you feel like something is missing and you need some guidance? Do you often feel unfulfilled with what you're doing on a day-to-day basis? Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to feel that way anymore. I'm here to help you through your journey in life to gain clarity, find purpose, and passion. My name is Jose Miguel Longo. I'm a gay Hispanic, a husband, dog daddy, advocate for social justice, and DEI. Ally for all LGBTQ+, a career and life coach and millennial born in 1983. I have spent my time since the age of 14 working my way around the world of work. I know my God-given talents are to help those around me to gain clarity in their lives while finding their passion and purpose. For the last decade, I've spent my time coaching college students and alums from all three generations, X, Y, and Z, in designing their career stories and mapping what they want to do in their lives. Whether it's gaining clarity in who you are and what you're meant to do, learning to build a resume or write a cover letter, holding you accountable and building your career journey, or designing your life, the podcast Coaching for Millennials is a how-to guide for all things career, life, and a sprinkle of everything in between. It is an all-inclusive space for meaningful conversations on topics happening in our world right now. It is a space for people to go on a holistic journey in uncovering their passion and purpose. I'm here for all generations, no matter what you identify as. If you're seeking to transition from a career industry or job to another, or ready to transform your life completely, I got you, boo. Whatever the fantasy you're trying to create, let me make it happen. If you're ready to start the journey to explore your passion and purpose, get focused on gaining clarity to transform you to a place that will fuel you, inspire you, and sprinkle some joy and laughter in between, it's time to dive into Coaching for Millennials. And we're back. Happy Wednesday. Here's another episode of Coaching for Millennials. I'm so excited to come back with another episode for a lot of reasons, but I wanted to check in on you. How are y'all doing? How has the week been going for you? I hope that last week's episode wasn't too much, because I know it was a really heavy topic to talk about, but in true fashion of how I roll, I am going to continue on the theme. Not the same topic. Last week, we were talking about my journey back to podcasting, and a lot of it had to do with the reason I left podcasting, or I should say took a break from podcasting, and me coming back and how I came back to it and what I did and what happened in between. And there's a lot that I left out in that story for obvious reasons. Time to, they all will probably be their own podcast episodes, but also I think that it'd be fitting for me to just briefly mention that, you know, when I stopped podcasting almost 2 years ago, it wasn't for reasons that were under my own control. Although you stop doing something for yourself when it's under your own control, but I needed to make a decision for my mental health, my own well-being, and I had to unfortunately stop doing certain things that I was doing, such as podcasting and coaching, to take care of myself. Continuing on the same theme, I want to talk to you about on how do you navigate mental health in the digital world. I feel like mental health is such a very top of mind topic that it would be remiss on me to not continue the conversation and theme. For those of you who are listening, I really appreciate almost 1,000 people downloaded the episode or listened to the episode in a week. So that's really amazing. I feel like, one, it's a way to come back, but also two, like it must have resonated with enough people to want to listen to it. So thank you so much for that. But I think it's a conversation and it's a topic that we should be talking about more frequently and more often. And I hope to bring folks who are therapists or psychiatrists or people who work in the mental health space to continue the conversation, because I feel as not just millennials, but as humans, our mental health is so important. And then even more so today, post-pandemic, just the world we live in, especially with social media, it can be toxic. It can be overwhelming. It could be complex, and it could be so many different things. So what we're diving into today, we're diving in headfirst with the relationship between mental health and the digital world that we live in today. So we're going to be exploring some of the downsides of social media, the constant need to be connected, the pressures that we carry on having an online persona. And also we're going to be chatting about how we can use tools that are really used by mental health experts and strategizing with people to develop a healthier relationship to your digital life. Obviously, we live in the digital era. So many of us have a business that's online, right? For me, that's what my business is. I don't have a brick and mortar. This is my office. This is my home. And we all have like a TikTok or an Instagram. And many people who are influencers, they're promoting beauty brands or products or different things. And then there's people who are affiliate marketers that do a little bit of the same thing, but they're not promoting it where they're in front of the camera. And then we have people who are, you know, obsessed with the gram or the TikTok or, you know, just the things that social media does to us. And there is a Netflix series that I need to go back and rewatch because I fell asleep watching it. It was super late at night, but it talks about what social media can do to your brain and what social media does to you and your life. And, you know, I am not someone that has taken a social media detox, although I stopped using certain platforms in the last 2 years and have kind of come back to them for a lot of different reasons. But also, I have a lot of friends who have said goodbye to Twitter, which is now X, or Instagram, and they're only on one platform. And, you know, it's been transformative for them. So with that, I want to kind of jump into the meat of it all, the reasons why we're here. I want to double down on why is social media a double-edged sword. And the reason it's a double-edged sword is because social media has a unique way of connecting us to community. Not sure if you saw that floater in the camera for those of you who are watching this on YouTube. Really weird, but I digress. That's the squirrel brain, by the way. But social media is a way that we connect to our online communities, whether it's family that's distant from us or friends that we have met when we were in high school or college or just anything. And it's really a great way for people to stay in touch. Obviously, generationally, we know who uses what platform. Sorry, Gen Xers, you're on Facebook. I mean, people who came before them are probably on Facebook too, but we know that millennials are probably mostly on Instagram and TikTok. And we know that Gen Z is using TikTok and still Instagram and mostly on Snapchat. This podcast obviously isn't just about millennials. I know that when I look at my data and my statistics, a lot of my listeners are female, they're women, and they're in a very diverse age group. They're between the ages of their mid to late 30s and all the way up to the 60s. So I appreciate the audience that I have that listens to the podcast. And that's the diverse listenership that I have. But they're obviously using some form of social media or social engagement platform to listen to the podcast, but also on their own time, you know, regardless of what they're doing. The other thing that comes up outside of just connection or community is there's always this FOMO, the fear of missing out. We all have such pressures in our society to be perfect, to be this ideology of something that really isn't who we are at our core. And one of the reasons that I wanted to come back to podcasting, but also do it in a recorded live, well, not live, but in a recorded format with video, was to bring the organic and naturalness. I don't know if you could tell my voice is a little wonky, not something that I normally would have done in the past if my voice was weird. But today I know that I wanted to come to you authentically. I wanted to come to you as myself and present you to me and not kind of hold back or hide anything, which I've never really done before. But I wanted to make sure that, like, for those who feel like they need someone or want to listen to this and feel like this information is important to them, that's what we're here for. And I always try to bring that voice in anything that I do, even if it's in my work, even if it's in my clients, even if it's in my business. So we all have this constant need of feeling like society kind of dictates a little bit of how we think and how we control the mindset that we carry. We all are surrounded by so much of this like sparkly and shininess that what we see online is perfect, but there's also reality behind that. And that alone could be its own like podcast episode or whatever. But I think for the purpose of this conversation, I think it's important to note that humans are intended to connect and communicate and engage with people. And if you're constantly on scrolling through platforms, hoping that your life changes because of something you're watching, that's just not the reality. You actually have to take action for that to happen. But it also can create people to be anxious and be depressed because what they're seeing, they want so badly and they want so much, not realizing that it's hurting them. I think we all have been victim of that. And I think that's one of the downfalls that comes with social media and that comes with having an online presence. It's the constant need to live vicariously or be that person that we see that might be some more vanity than is real. Continuing in the theme of connectivity, it's almost like there's, I don't want to say a cult because I feel like cult is a strong word, but there's almost like a required need to be constantly connected and staying in touch, right? The power that social media has over us, or online, I should say, is the fact that we can connect with people from all over the world. But what we oftentimes miss is not creating healthy boundaries with either unplugging or disconnecting. And what I mean by that is that it almost becomes an addiction that you're either spending so many hours scrolling and in the doom of scrolling, which is one of the reasons why like I stopped using TikTok years ago, was because I found myself how much time I was spending just scrolling through different videos. And it's entertaining. It sometimes is helpful to use that as a way of disconnecting. But when you think about where you're spending your time, try looking at what apps you use the most on your phone. If you're someone who is a social media person, I'm not trying to take away from people who are influencers or people who use social media as a way of making their business. But I think there's something to be said about the psychological repercussions that come with spending so much time and the impact that it has on our persona and our images and our brains. I think it's important to identify how can you create healthy boundaries around that, but also recognize when you're actually addicted to something, because I think it really hinders someone's ability to actually curate connection in person. If you're constantly on your phone, you're then isolating yourself with just your phone. So you have this relationship with this piece of technology, but behind the technology, it's not everything that your life is about. So things to be aware of, you know, if you're finding yourself in a space where you're just only connected to your device, maybe you should check in with other people. Something else that I think is really kind of poignant of what the impact of what social media does or what that really has on the impact of the brain and mental health is the amount of accounts or social media profiles that we have and then the people we follow. We obviously do it because there's inspiration behind that. I know I have my top, you know, 200 or 100 people that I follow for inspiration, not just for my podcast, but also for audible books or for coaching and people that I look up to that are kind of gurus in the space. A lot of them have social media presence because that's how they engage with their audience. They know how to attract them. But I think you have to come to an understanding if you're wanting to navigate the impact of mental health with social media, how do you start to identify these things? And a lot of it comes down to paying attention to what you're watching and what is it that's being presented. That's also part of you taking control of how the algorithm is putting out content to you. If you're able to see how much information is coming to you, like I can't tell you how many times I look at Instagram, I'm like, gosh, I actually haven't searched for something and Instagram knows 100% what it is that I'm looking for. And a lot has to do with how all platforms, including Google, including any internet browser, knows the information that you're putting out there. A lot of it has to do with privacy and your privacy settings and your data being shared and all those things. So just being able to be mindful of that and really taking action and control of how you look at the information that's on there is really critical to how you manage your presence, but also how you manage and control what's being put out for you to view and see. The other thing I will say that really it's kind of top of mind or comes to mind when we talk about the conversation of mental health and screen time and social media and the digital world is how can we create tips for ourselves that are actionable, but also ones that you can continue to either evolve for yourself or be able to be more mindful of them as you're kind of going through your mind, your, you know, internal mind of like what it is that you want to do related to that. So if you're looking to take action, I have some healthy tips that can create digital healthy habits for dealing with how you identify the different forms of the mental health issues that come with social media or just the digital world. The first thing that comes to mind is that we know that there's a lot of cyberbullying and online negativity online. I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, there was something in the news relevant to a kid, probably 13 or 14. I don't remember their name. I definitely know that they were part of the LGBTQ community and they took their own life because of bullying that happened that wasn't just in school, but it was also online. And it really breaks my heart. You know, social media wasn't a thing when I was a kid and when many of us who probably listen to this show weren't kids, but I know that I have nieces and nephews, and I think about the impact of them being so young and having cell phones and connecting to their friends and people. And it's not in our nature to be mean or want to be mean, but sometimes it just takes one person to say something off the cuff that isn't necessarily nice. And it can have a really quick way of spiraling and becoming its own thing. So having kind of, you know, said that, if you're a parent and you have kids, this might be helpful for you. These are some action items that can help prevent some of that cyberbullying or prevent some of that toxic behavior. Or if you're yourself or looking to develop some healthy habits for managing your digital time, I would say conduct a digital detox. Identify, you know, a schedule for when you want to not be on social media or be on your phone or be on any platform, even if it's just for 30 minutes a day. Use your phone has a way of looking how much time, I don't know the name of the app, but I know that it exists because I've seen it before, how much time you spend on specific apps, and you can set a permission to either close the app and unlock it at a certain time. That's something that parents can do when they're trying to manage their screen time with their kids. I'm sure that this is something that parents of, you know, tweens or early teenagers, well, tweens are early teenagers, but you know what I mean, who are probably using their cell phones, but even us as adults, I've caught myself even today in the doom of scrolling. I was like, God, what am I doing? Let's get off this stupid app. But it's just easy, right? It's easy. So conduct the digital detox, you know, schedule that screen time. Even if it's, you know, if you're using it for 2 hours a day, then maybe cut back to an hour a day. Or if you're using an hour a day, cut back to 30 minutes a day. The other thing I would say is if you're that person who lives through FOMO, maybe you should audit the people you follow on your accounts. I know this might be hard. Sometimes this person gives value to you in your life. But if you're finding yourself either constantly monitoring or looking for a notification or looking for things that this person does, that not just the person, it could be just a channel in general. Maybe it's something that might be helpful to go through and unfollow for a while. Maybe that would help, you know, free your brain and free your space and free your mind to really be more proactive on how you're spending your time. I know that it's not just about our mental health, but it's also a productivity thing. I can't tell you how much time I think I remember during the pandemic. It was like the doomsday scrolling because you were all locked in our house doing nothing. And, you know, it was a way to pass time. And people were creating content and people were living their best life. But if this is something that you find concerning or you want to take action with, definitely auditing your social media accounts to look at unfollowing people who obviously are contributing to your FOMO, or maybe it's people who have negative things to say. That might be something to do as an action item. The other thing I'll say that I find to be helpful, but you know, this is more of a action item on I think everyone should be doing, is practicing gratitude. I can't tell you how much abundance comes with practicing gratitude and how uplifting it is to your mental health and your well-being and the people around you when you actually have a, not just an awareness of it, but also like creating a mantra around it. How can you practice gratitude? So you can start a gratitude journal, or you can go online to search for ways to practice gratitude. You can share that online, right? Let's reverse this. Share your gratitude online and what you're grateful for. There's journals. One of my favorite journals right here. There are also gratitude meditations that you can listen to. There's so many different things you can do that will really lend to be positive and kind of influencing their way you look at your online presence. But it's also a way of shifting how you're presenting yourself online, but also what you're doing online as well. Obviously, this probably should have been number one, but seeking professional help. If you're finding that you're struggling with having an addiction and it's impacting your mental health, don't hesitate to talk to a therapist or a mental health professional. I think that this is really important. I chose mental health because I knew that I had symptoms and feelings. Well, let me rephrase that, because I just said I chose mental health. I don't think we choose mental health, but I chose to reach out to a mental health provider because I knew that I was having issues with my mental health, but it wasn't specific to social media. Now, I'm pretty sure that in conversations, some mental health providers do ask their patients about their usage of online and what they're doing online and what their digital footprint looks like. And I'm pretty certain that you can probably narrow down that you're having impact to your mental health and well-being because of what you're seeing and your online presence looks like. I know it sounds crazy to say out loud, but I really feel that that is something important and worth to consider. I believe in the power of therapy and what therapy can do. And I feel like everyone should have therapy, whether they think they need it or not. I think it just really can help people in so many different ways. Another thing that I would say is that's helpful is share the conversation. Don't feel like this is a topic that you can just keep by yourself. If you're feeling that this resonates with you, share it with a friend, share it with a family member, have them listen to this particular episode, and then maybe they might be able to take some of these pointers with them. I think it's really important to use the time that we have, not just together in this podcast, but as people, as humans in this world, to leverage our talents. And if social media has a talent for you, great. You know, I'm using a platform like the podcast and the things that connect me to it, such as YouTube and such as Podbean, which is where I host my podcast, to leverage these conversations. I find them to be important. There's obviously a lot of history behind this. There's a lot of research behind this. And I feel like it's something that, you know, we can always explore and we can always have a healthy conversation. Mental health is going to be a big part of this podcast moving forward. So this isn't going to be the last time that I talk about it, but I really felt that there is such a problem right now in how we're influenced by the digital world that we can take more control and power over it, which is why I wanted to talk about it and mention it. And also, you know, who knows, maybe it's helping somebody else, which is why I am a podcaster and a career and life coach because I've always wanted to help people. So some things to consider, you know, obviously I just shared about 6 or 7 action items you can do as you're going through this journey of uncovering or detoxing yourself from your digital footprint or your social media addiction, if you have one or if you think you have one, is look at ways to connect with people who obviously have a positive journey or obviously have things that can influence you and make you feel good. We don't want to necessarily be 100% disconnected from the world, although that's not a bad thing. But being able to see the world in a different lens, it's not so much throwing at us things that are being given to us by an algorithm, can definitely have a profound impact on us. So I hope that this particular episode was, you know, helpful, also motivational, and really maybe something to think about and consider. It is different from what most of my episodes are, but, you know, with this podcast coming back into season 4, and what I'm thinking of shifting to is just creating content and episodes that are just a lot more open to different conversations that we can lean into that are meaningful and always aren't just about career and life. One of the things I love to talk about is emotional intelligence, positive psychology, well-being. So bringing a little bit of that back into the conversation, obviously sprinkling career, and then just bringing different guests that can come in to share their journey. So having said all that, I'm curious, you know, do you think, and you can put this in the comments on the podcast, whether you're listening to it on, I think, with Podbean or Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, wherever you listen to this podcast, I'm pretty sure you can add a comment to an episode. So I'm curious. I would love to have a discussion with all of you who are listening. You know, if this episode really has caused food for thought, or if it's something that you're looking to explore, what are some ideas that you have and share with people online? Because having a healthy, positive conversation, I think, is really important and can really create some dimension and depth to what episodes and content I'm producing. I will start to look at those comments again. I haven't in a long time, but I know a lot of it comes from people who appreciate what I'm creating and appreciate the content that's coming in. So be on the lookout for more fresh content, obviously, every week, but just new posts that are going to be blog posts. I'm going to be creating some resources and tools that you can use. So the show notes for this particular episode will have all of the action items we discussed. So having said all that, I want to keep it to the minimum here. I hope that this information was helpful to you. I know that for me, I felt like, God, I should really do an episode on this. So why not do it now? But I hope you're having an amazing day. Enjoy your week. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Bye. Hey, Chit Chatter. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. If you found value in today's episode, be sure to share it with the world. We welcome everyone for listening. And if you'd like, please go on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. Those reviews mean everything to me and they help the show grow, as well as for me to know what topics you want to hear from next. Be sure to go visit to coachingwithjoseandmiguel.com or Coaching for Millennials for more up-to-date content, newsletters, blogs, information about coaching for life and career. Thank you so much for being a part of our magical world and for being part of this program. I can't wait to the next episode.